Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our Old Testament lesson on the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, the last verse of today's Old Testament lesson, verse 5. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. House of Jacob, it isn't written to people who have never heard about the Lord Jesus, who don't know him. It's written for us, the children of God, people who know the Lord Jesus. Come, let us walk in the what? The light. Because you can't walk in the dark. You walk in the dark, you trip over things, you bash your shins, you hit bump your head against things like that. You can't walk in the dark. It has to be in the light. It has to be in the light of the Lord. Well, there's an old saying that says, God has no grandchildren. God has no grandchildren. Yes, he most certainly has children. But grandchildren, not a one, not a single one. And what I mean is that people sometimes say, you know, Grandma? Grandma was a member of St. Peter Lutheran Church in Medford, Oregon, till her dying day. Daddy. And we nod our heads and we say, that's good. And they say, you know, Grandma? She read her Bible every day. And that's good. Good for Grandma. And Grandma went to church every Sunday. Good for Grandma. And Grandma said her prayers every night. Good for Grandma. But how about you? How about you? And that's what our lesson from Isaiah chapter 2 asks of us. It says, what about you? It says, come, O house of Jacob, people of God, let us walk in the light of the Lord. I think back a few years ago, the day after the Alameda fire in Phoenix and Talent, there was a fire also in our neighborhood. And we were driving home, my wife and we saw the smoke from a distance, and we pulled into our neighborhood, and as we pulled into our neighborhood, there was a huge traffic jam. A huge traffic jam of people leaving the neighborhood. And to my recollection, there was only one car that was going the other way. We were going in the opposite direction. And as we got to our house, we could see the reason why everybody was crowding out of the neighborhood. About 100 yards back, there was a wall of flames. All kinds of flames. So what did we do? We went and got the other car, salvaged it, made sure to have both cars, and we got into the traffic jam to get out of there. To get away from the flames, to get toward life. How about you? Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Well, further from that scripture reading, Isaiah chapter 2, it says, it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it, and many people shall come, and they shall say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. Like that traffic jam that we saw, what you see here is people of all nations, all different nations streaming toward the Lord, streaming toward life, streaming away from the flames, streaming toward the Lord. And they're doing that by invitation. Jesus said, you know the verse, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. Come to the cross, which alone makes a person right with God. Come to the cross, which makes alone makes a person clean before God, which alone makes a person a child of God. Don't call anything righteousness if it doesn't come from that cross, because it isn't. It's just human effort that impresses people, but doesn't impress a holy God. What about you? O house of Jacob, come let us walk in the light of the Lord. See, it is in the nature of mankind to drive in the wrong direction. It's in our nature. History teaches us that, but even more accurately, God's holy word teaches us that, page after page. It's the way we're born to drive the wrong way, born to drive toward the flames, and we don't know any different. We don't know any different. Now, the people of Israel, the house of Jacob, they should have known different. Book of Romans chapter 9, St. Paul says, they're Israelites. They're Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, the Messiah, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. And yet with all of that, they're driving toward the flames. To understand it, you have to go a few verses beyond our Old Testament lesson for today in Isaiah chapter 2. And this is what you'll read. It says, Lord, your people are filled with influences from the east, and they are soothsayers like the Philistines. Their land has also been filled with silver and with gold, and there is no end to all their treasures. Their land has also been filled with horses, and there's no end to their chariots. Their land has also been filled with idols. They worship the works of their hands, that which their fingers have made. Now, if you take that and cut it out of the Bible and just show it to someone, they might say, oh, I heard about that on yesterday's news, because it's the same thing. Influences from the east. Eastern mysticism, back then as well, just as much today. Eastern mysticism. Mysticism is an interesting thing. It has an appeal to it, especially to intellectual people, because it promises to give you secret knowledge. You get to know the inner working of things. You get powers and insights that you can tap into to promote your health or mental strength or do better at work or have better relationships. And the advantage of it is you don't have to have some God looking over your shoulder saying, no, don't go that way, but you go this way. You can follow your own path. Just tap into the forces. Soothsayers, not a word we use too often, but refers to mediums and spiritists and horoscopes, things which promise to give you control over the future so your mind can rest, or contact with those you love who have gone beyond this life. And those are wonderful too, because you don't have to have the Lord there either. As a matter of fact, God promised not to be there, not to be within a mile of it. And so the lesson also says, Isaiah 2, there's no end to all their treasures. There's no end to all their chariots. I always think of that verse when I'm stuck in traffic. No end to all the chariots we're driving around. And of course, the advantage of the treasures, the prosperity, is they give you a wonderful sense of calmness, because you can have all the good things and God doesn't have to be there either. He doesn't have to be in the picture, looking over your shoulder, saying, gee, I don't know. I don't know if that's the best. In summary, quote, they worship the work of their hands. The land is filled with idols. And you may remember, if you studied it when you became part of the church, the little catechism, our little catechism, that tells us that an idol is not just a golden statue. An idol or a god is that to which you look for all good things. An idol or a god is that to which you find refuge in time of need. And if you have learned anything about the human heart, your heart and mine, if you have heard what God says in his holy word about the human heart, that it's deceitful beyond all things, what you recognize is that your heart, left to itself, will choose an idol over the Lord every day of the week. And twice on Sundays, your heart will do that. Book of Genesis, it's there right at the very beginning. The Lord looked down from heaven and he saw that the inclination of man's heart's only evil all the time. The inclination of man's heart is only evil all the time, which means that when you have other options, your heart will seek those options. When you have other options, your heart will seek after idols. It'll go for half remedies. It'll go for mysticism. It'll go for prosperity. It'll go for chariots. It will stream away from the Lord. It will head right into the flames. Now, when I was in college many long years ago, my friends and I would study the Bible together, and we would recognize the problem of such things, and we would talk very bravely. I remember the one word we used, talking very bravely, about how we need to surrender to the Lord. We need to surrender to the Lord, and that may be true, but if you think about it, the only time you surrender is when you got no other option, when you have no other choice. That's when you surrender. And there is nothing on God's green earth that gives you no other option like your sin. What does God's word say? The soul that sins, it shall die. It's hard to cut that any other way. What does the scripture say? Cursed is everyone who doesn't continue to do everything written in the book of the law. What does it say? The wages of sin is death. What does it say? Be ye holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy. Point's very clear there. God says, here's what's going to happen. Either you deal with your sin and get rid of it, or I'll deal with your sin and get rid of you. What else can we do with it? What else can we do? And the problem is that the first one is impossible. People think it is, especially when you're starting out. You think, oh, I can just get rid of my sin. Starting tomorrow, I'm going to be a different person. How long does that last? It doesn't last. Why? Because there's not a righteous man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. It doesn't last. It doesn't work. So much for religions. So much for belief systems. So much for ideas of man, which are contrary to what God says. But the second option, God will deal with your sin and get rid of you? You don't even want to go there. Which is why it is a wonderful and blessed relief when God's holy word says, you know, we got another possibility here. And this is the other possibility. It never rose on the heart of man. You won't find it in any religion or belief system because it's not of human origin. But this is the option. God will deal with your sin. And he will do it by getting rid of somebody else. Book of Isaiah, chapter 53. All of us have wandered off like sheep. All of us have wandered off like sheep, and every one of us has gone off on his own path. And the Lord placed upon him, that's our Lord Jesus, the iniquity of all of us. You have a shepherd and you have the sheep. Who gets sacrificed? Well, of course, sheep. That's what they were for. Sacrifices for eating and for wool and whatever else. But they were sacrificed. Instead, God says, we're going to reverse that. I'm going to sacrifice the shepherd to save the sheep. 2 Corinthians 5. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's not fair. It's not right. It's not just. But it is the only way you got out. The only way you got out of the flames. Book of Acts chapter 4, there's salvation in nobody else. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And that's why you see all the nations in Isaiah's prophecy streaming toward the Lord. Streaming toward Him. What Isaiah is seeing there is the New Testament era, all the way up to the present day. People streaming away from the flames, streaming to the Lord Jesus Christ because they know their sin. And they know that He's the only deliverance, the only hope. They need a Savior. And what you have there is a message for God's people of all generations, maybe to arouse us to a little bit of godly jealousy, like St. Paul talks about. And just a simple question, why would you go the other way? Why would you go toward the flames? Why would you seek out half measures, half answers? Why would you seek out idols? Why would you seek out mysticism or prosperity or chariots? They're not going to get you where you need to go. Look at the people of the nations. They've already been there. They've already done that. They've already knocked on that door. They know it leads nowhere. And so, come. Let us go up the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that He should teach us His ways and we could walk in His paths. Not our ways, His ways. Not our paths, His paths. The people of the nations say, you know, we found out something. We found out that the wages of sin is death. But finish the sentence. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so you have Isaiah chapter 2, which is a plea from the Lord and a reminder for all of the children of God of all generations. And you can say, remember how Grandma went to church every Sunday? And that's good. Remember how Grandma read the Bible all the time? That's good. Remember how Grandma used to pray? That's good. But then what? What about you? Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. There's salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Maybe the people of the nations, they found something. Maybe they discovered something. I think they did. They found that there is no other hope other than the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.